D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Chad on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I will never forget my second grade spelling bee. I was smoking everyone. Made it to the last two, and they asked me to spell Independence Day. I crushed it, but I got it wrong because I didn't specify capital I, capital D.
All-time
screw job, according to Chad.
Oh, my goodness. Just because he didn't capitalize it? Wow. They did a man. They had it out for him.
Those moderators, they're sticklers.
They had it out for him.
That is harsh.
Dylan on our text line said, I'm surprised that Adam is still alive after he made all those bikini women jokes the other day. I for sure would have thought his wife or girlfriend would have killed him. This in reference to the Stefan Diggs video where he is swarmed by bikini-clad women on a yacht, along with Cardi B, who I think is also wearing a bikini. Joke's on you, Dylan. My wife doesn't listen. She's too busy doing actual work.
And then it's going to be that one day where one of her friends walk into the office. Hey, Adam, you want to listen to Adam? DVD? Oh, sure.
He talks turn about you on. All the time.
Yeah, turn it on. And here's Adam. Saying something that he doesn't think his wife hears.
I love you, honey. Just clip that. Clip that, David, and send it. I love you very much.
And what is she going to say, Willie, when he walks in the house?
Don't hey honey, me.
Exactly. Hey, honey.
Don't you hey, honey, me. I heard what you said on the radio.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Chad says, that's a 100% true story. I wish I was creative enough to make that up. Chad, all I'm saying is, I don't know if you went to elementary school around here, but I think you should make a stop.
Yeah. You should stop over.
I think that you should be retroactively awarded the win for a technicality.
Yeah.
But I want to follow up on something that Derek and I talked about the other day. We were talking about Colin Cowherd and on his show talking about Cam Ward and that he thinks that Cam Ward is enough of a difference maker that the Titans are going to make the playoffs because of his performance this season. And, building off of that, I looked up the number of rookie starting quarterbacks in the playoffs since 2004, and I excluded situations where a rookie quarterback had to start because the established starter was injured. For example, I think a few years ago, Skylar Thompson had to start a playoff game for the Dolphins because Tua was injured, so I didn't include that. I looked at established starters, and there were 15 since 2004. Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, Matt Ryan, Mark Sanchez, Andy Dalton, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. So 15. And Derek said, I bet if not all of them, most of those quarterbacks had outstanding defenses. And wouldn't you know it? It bears out because what I did was I went back and looked at the scoring defenses for all of those teams that had rookie starting quarterbacks in the playoffs. Of the 15, 9 of them had top 5 scoring defenses. Roethlisberger first, Flacco third, Sanchez first, Wilson first, Prescott fifth, Jackson second, Jones second, Purdy first, and Nix third. So 9 of those 15 quarterbacks had top 5 scoring defenses.
And what I wanted people to understand, Willie, was I know people are talking about, Cam needs more receivers.
He needs
weapons. He needs more receivers. They need somebody other than, they need another back. Pollard, I get it. All of that that's important to have. But if I got to ask my rookie quarterback to score 28 points because we're giving up 27 points, or to lead 4 scoring drives each and every game, that's not conducive to winning and developing a quarterback. It's just not. It's been time tested. You can't develop a quarterback all while trying to outscore somebody. That just, because then he starts developing bad habits and all this other stuff goes wrong. If I can hold a defense, as a defense, if I can hold an offense to 14, 16, 17 points a game, And maybe even historically, I think Baltimore, that 99 defense, that and that Legion of Boom defense, they were in the low teens as far as points per game they were giving up. When you do that, that means my offense, my young quarterback, he only needs to get me in the red zone two times. And more than likely, if we get in the red zone two times and score two touchdowns, we are winning games. Or you get us in there three times, two touchdowns and a field goal, we're going to win. Why? Because our defense is only giving up, on average, 14, 15 points a game. So if we can average 17, 18 points a game, that's great. Why? Because now I don't have to put my quarterback in one, unfamiliar positions in this league, or uncomfortable positions where he has to come back. And I think that was a little bit of Will Levis's downfall too, playing hero ball because he had to.
Here are some here are some of the outliers. So I get, again, 9 of the 15 quarterbacks had top 5 scoring defenses. Matt Ryan in 2008 with Atlanta, just outside the top 10 at 11th. Andrew Luck in 2012 with Indianapolis, 21st. Robert Griffin in 2012 with Washington, 22nd. C.J. Stroud, 2023 in Houston, 11th. Jaden Daniels last season, 18th. But if you average up the points per game allowed, it's under 20. It's 18, 19 points of those scoring defenses for those rookie quarterbacks.
It really stands to reason. It's probably, I think, the best way that you can succeed for a rookie quarterback is set the bar so that you don't have to score, like you said, 20, 25, 28 points to feel like you have a chance. That probably tells you how great Jaden Daniels was last year, because it's so remarkable, because he was really carrying them as a rookie.
I believe they had a top 5 offense last season. I'm going to double check that. Yes, they were 5th in the NFL in points per game, 18th in points allowed per game. So you need, if you're going to give up that many points, you need a special quarterback who can put up the points.
So it begs the question, does the Titans defense have a prayer of being in the ballpark of that kind of defense?
They would need to shave off 7 or 8 points off of their points allowed per game average from last season.
What, they're giving up 27?
So remember,
thereabouts.
Worst special teams in the league.
Yes.
So that's maybe where you could make up some ground. More turnovers forced.
They were one of the worst teams.
They were one of the worst. That's where you could make up some ground. And then I think the red zone is the other thing that I think could cut the deficit. Now, I still don't see a dominant defense. We've got a lot of holes that you're saying, where are they going to get the pressure? Where are they going to get this or that? But those three areas can fluctuate a lot.
They were tied for 25th in the NFL last season in defense red zone touchdown rate. They allowed touchdowns on 63.2%.
Yeah. Not good.
They got to get much better. Much better.
And if they do that, maybe they shave off that extra touchdown, which gets them into the 18, 19 points against.
Because because if you look at all those teams, majority of them, not only is it points per game, it's third down. They're probably ranked high in third down as far as what their third down percentage offenses are getting on them. I guarantee you that Baltimore Raven defense was one of the tops in third down. They were one of the tops in red zone, efficiency when it comes to stopping offenses from scoring. All of those defenses, you just look at all of them that were in the top 10. They had to be ranked high when it comes to red zone, third down, stoppage, and turnovers. They had to be ranked somewhere, because if you are only allowing teams to score 14, 15 points a game, that means you are doing something extraordinary. You're not just stopping them, but you're taking the ball away from them too.
Your 2008 Ravens allowed 15.3 points per game, and that was third. There were two teams better than that, but that was third, 15.3 points per game.
So essentially, it's what I said. Get us in the red zone and score two times. Two times. That's all we really needed was two times, and more than likely, we'll get that third, 50-yard field goal from Stover, and we win the game 17 to 14 or 17 to 10.
And Willie made the right point, because Andrew on our text line says, am I wrong not really trusting judging a defense on points allowed because of crappy quarterbacks, offenses, and special teams can completely screw up or screw over a defense ranking on points? Yes. the special teams had issues, dropping punts. Punts were blocked. Mm-hmm. Will Levis turnovers. The Titans defense were put in disadvantageous situations. They had to defend shorter fields. That leads into the red zone percentage, which was one among the worst in the NFL. So, yes, absolutely. I know there are other ways to judge it. That was mm-hmm. the quickest way for me to do it. Mm-hmm. But I do think it stands out that, again, 9 of the 15 quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks, who started playoff games had top 5 scoring defenses.
And that's something that people don't really look at. Why? Because it's all about the offense. It's all about how when you draft a young quarterback, and the next questions the fans are asking, especially in a Titans situation, well, now that you got a quarterback, now you got to surround him with playmakers. Well, yes, that's true, but if I can get my defense, surrounding him with playmakers doesn't necessarily just mean on offense. It means on defense as well. Surround him with playmakers. Get him a defensive end that's going to get to the quarterback at least 10, 12 times a game. Get him a defensive back that's going to have, 15 to 17 pass breakups and 6 or 7 interceptions. Get him a linebacker that's, 120 plus tackles and he's around the ball everywhere. Get him those type of playmakers and allow him to develop on the offensive side of the ball the way he needs to. Because again, if he has to outscore teams, it's not historically, it doesn't bode well for a young rookie quarterback.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com if you want to get in on the conversation. But coming up next, speaking of those 2008 Baltimore Ravens, an old teammate of Derek Mason had some interesting things to say the other day. And when I heard it, it reminded me of something that a former Tennessee Titans player had to say. So I want to bring all of that up. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.
It's a talking point. You can kind of like use it like, because it's a good question to bait somebody into answering. And no matter how they answer it, it kind of makes the guy that's answering it look bad. If I say I don't want to be a mentor, I look bad. If I say I do want to be a mentor, then I look like an idiot that doesn't care about being good and playing football. So it's one of those questions that no matter what I say, you guys can write what you want to write about it. And there's a lot of questions like that. That's why you end up having to try to avoid them. I tend to try to be honest. And I've said I'm not a mentor. I play football. And in a quarterback room, there's a lot of times already. There's been already a ton of times where there's learning experiences. And I have a lot of experience. And I can talk on things. And hopefully they listen. But it's not necessarily like my job to like make sure they listen to me. And, hey, like hopefully you have a really good relationship with the guys that are in the room. And you naturally want to do that. That was a long-winded answer, but that's ultimately why I think you guys ask it, Here's the thing is, like, because of what I just said, like, you're acting like I wouldn't want to be a mentor. It's not really about that. It's just not the main focus. I see myself as a guy that can play in this league. So if your main focus was just like, hey, bud, I'm going to get you ready, you're just not taking care of business. The best way to be a mentor, honestly, is, like, show people how you go to work, And like I said, hope that they pick up on that stuff, but not necessarily force them to pick up on the things that you do.
That was Derek Mason's old teammate, mm-hmm. Joe Flacco, at Browns OTAs. Joe Flacco having to do some babysitting, I guess, with Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders in the Browns quarterback room. But I heard that, and I said, that sounds familiar to me. Where have I heard that before? And then I remembered when Ryan Tannehill, David Janes, said this.
That's part of being in a quarterback room in the same room. We're competing against each other. We're watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing.
I haven't seen the reaction yet of Joe Flacco's response there, but I remember people being outraged by Ryan Tannehill saying it's not his job to mentor Malik Willis.
It was a week of radio fire.
That you'll never get back.
Yeah. Yes, it will never get back. I was defending Ryan Tannehill for being taken out of context, but man, after hearing Flacco.
I was one of those individuals that thought that Ryan, he could have answered that a different way. He could have been more of the sort of, I think, because if you listen to his answer and you listen to Joe's answer, his answer is more of a flippant, like, matter of fact, it's just like flip it, and he's just going about it. Joe sounds like a coach. That's what Joe sounds like. He sounds like a coach. And if Tannehill would have said it like Joe, then I don't think that the outrage would have been there. And I don't know if the outrage is there about Joe Flacco. And just full disclosure, he was my quarterback for 2 years. I have nothing but good things to say about Joe. But I think if Tannehill would have said it like Joe, it would have came off a little bit more genuine, because Joe wanted to explain it. Like, listen, it's not my – because I still feel I can play this game. And if I just sit back and want to be a mentor, I can't give the team what I actually can give them, you know, beneficial.
Because he's in line to start.
Yeah, he's in line to start.
At least at the beginning of the season.
Exactly. So the best – he said the most important thing. He said the best thing that I can do for these guys is show them how to do it by the way I work, the things that I do, and I can impart experiences on them, but I can't make them do anything. That's what I think in Joe's mind, that's what mentoring is to him. Like, I go about my business, you see me, we're all in the same room, we're friends, we got good relationships, so automatically it's just going to come automatically. It's not something that I'm going to intentionally do. And I think if Ryan Tannehill would have answered the question like that, I think it would have fell on people a lot different.
Because he elaborated.
Exactly.
He went into detail on explaining his position.
Exactly.
Where Ryan Tannehill was taking out of context with a real quick, as you just played. And what I would make the point back when we were slogging through this, and I was like, can we please? Is this the only thing? He had like a 30-minute press conference, or how long it was. I mean, he answered all of the demons about the interception game against the Bengals and how he was struggling with
the boat stuff. Didn't he touch on that some too?
Oh,
the
God. Boat?
There
was that all, I remember. Yeah. I remember the boat
I mean, he
stuff.
Was, it was
oh,
the first
boy.
Time he had spoken in a long time, so people wanted to hear from him. So that was a comment. That was not the focus at all of the interview. It was all about how are you handling a devastating loss and what are you trying to do to bounce back? And he opened up.
Yeah.
So that answer, he wasn't even thinking about what he was saying. He was like, I mean, just, I don't think he had prepared for that question.
No.
But I don't think he felt any different than Flacco did. But Flacco was like, if you don't think you can play in this league, then you probably shouldn't be playing. You're not in the league to mentor the next guy. Hey, buddy, let me get you ready. You're preparing
or if you
yourself
don't think
to go out
be
and
a
play.
Starter. If you don't think you could be a starter. Oh, prime example. And again, I haven't seen Brandon Allen play. Maybe I did and didn't know it was Brandon Allen.
He hasn't started very many
games.
Yeah,
so maybe I saw him play in the NFL.
He's kind of a stealth guy.
Exactly.
He hasn't been
maybe he was the quarterback for the team when I was watching, and I turned it quickly when I saw the starting quarterback wasn't there. Maybe
I do not have a visual of what he looks like throwing the ball, calling signals. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
But he's a prime example of a guy that mentors. He know he's not going to be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. No way, no how, unless Cam Ward just falls off the face of the earth. He's not going to be the starting quarterback. So what is he supposed to do? Prepare himself to be a starter, but all the while, now he can be sort of that mentor to the guy. You know, because there's no threat of you, you know, being a number one guy, or everybody in the building knows that you, and you even know you're not the number one guy. In Joe's case, he feel, and I think the organization feels that, yeah, he may be our best opportunity to start the season off. So I got to prepare I got to make sure I'm doing what I have to do to be a starter. So I may not have that time to sit down and be that mentor that a backup that knows he's going to be a backup has, a veteran guy. He may end up being a starter this year, meaning Joe Flacco.
I would assume that he's probably going to be the week one starter for the Cleveland Browns.
He has the most experience, and right. they have experience with him.
I guess it could be Kenny Pickett, but
yeah. Nah, I'd take Flacco over Pickett any day.
It's not going to be Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders. I doubt it. But
unless one of those guys just have an awesome camp. But you look at what Joe said. He put on his coaching hat. That's just what he did. So don't be surprised when Joe retires, he becomes a coach and ultimately becomes a head coach one day. But his demeanor, everything, he answered it in such a way that I think you kind of saw both sides of what he was talking about. But he also did get baited into saying one or the other. He wanted to fully explain his stance on being a quote-unquote mentor.
Chris Canty, who's on ESPN's Unsportsmanlike and played with Joe Flacco with the Ravens, although you said you didn't cross paths.
No, I didn't cross paths
with Chris Canty.
Yeah.
This is from CBS Sports, who transcribed this segment from Sports Unsportsmanlike. Quote, mentoring a young player is only going to make that player better, which makes the team better. You're only as strong as your weakest link. The whole point of the exercise is that everybody makes everyone better. That's why you practice. You're making each other better. It's what you're supposed to do. You do that with the reps on the practice field, but you also do that by sharing points and notes in the film room. It's a ridiculous answer from Joe Flacco. There's no guarantee Joe Flacco is going to be healthy for 17 games, especially at 40 years old.
But that's what, listen to Joe's answer. He's right. Saying all of that.
It's not like he's exactly. Blocking the guy. It's not.
What did he say? He said, listen, I have experience. I can give that to them in the meeting rooms and stuff like that. So
here's more from Canty. Quote, it's stupid to not consider trying to do everything that you can to coach these other guys up. Nobody is saying you have to do your job at a lesser level in terms of performing on the field. But if you can happen to impart some wisdom onto those guys who you're spending 16 hours a day with in training camp, why wouldn't you do that? Just because you're mentoring doesn't mean you can't be the starting quarterback. His answer is nonsensical. I hate going so hard at one of my former teammates, but it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard Joe Flacco say.
David, play that clip again. I think people got – sometimes people hear the beginning of things, and then they just tune out. They're thinking about their answer. I'm coming back on them. And they're not listening to all of it. Just play what Joe said.
It's a talking point. You can kind of, like, use it. Like, because it's a good question to bait somebody into answering. And either and no matter how they answer it, it kind of makes the guy that's answering it look bad. If I say I don't want to be a mentor, I look bad. If I say I do want to be a mentor, then I look like an idiot that doesn't care about being good and playing football. So it's one of those questions that no matter what I say, you guys can write what you want to write about it. And there's a lot of questions like that. That's why you end up having to try to avoid them. I tend to try to be honest. And I've said I'm not a mentor. I play football. And in a quarterback room, there's a lot of times already. There's been already a ton of times where there's learning experiences. And I have a lot of experience. And I can talk on things. And hopefully they listen. But it's not necessarily like my job to like make sure they listen to me. And you know, hey, like hopefully you have a really good relationship with the guys that are in the room and you naturally want to do that, you know, but that was a long-winded answer, but that's ultimately why I think you guys ask
so,
it.
So I would, because Chris Canty is good at what he does. I like watching him on ESPN. He's good at what he does, but I would like for him to listen to that one more time. Chris Canty, if somebody knows, just listen to that one more time, and maybe your answer will be a little bit different because you just said something that he did say within his answer. You said he didn't say it, or you said he should be doing all this. Well, he said this is what he's doing. He said he's sitting in it. He said there's been many times, even now, where he's been sitting in a room with these young quarterbacks, and because of his experience, he can speak on things in a meeting room, imparting them some wisdom or what he saw or what he didn't see. That is mentoring in a version. So again, people are sometimes so quick to want to retort on something and not listening to the full answer and then gather your thoughts.
It also sounds to me like Joe Flacco remembers the Ryan Tannehill press conference.
Yes.
And what a big deal that was. Mm-hmm. I mean, he all but said exactly what happened to Ryan Tannehill without mentioning his name. So it seems it seems like that popped into his head. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm not falling into this
ain't
trap.
Falling for that trap. But I ain't falling for the banana in a tailpipe.
Right. But then he went ahead and just gave a very honest answer. But it sounds to me, it's like, I'm not trying to block the guy from learning from me. I'm going to prepare like a pro. I have experience. And if they absorb that, then there's a certain amount of natural mentorship. He said, "But I'm not." He's competing to win the job.
Yes.
So I want to credit Adam at Xander Mercury on Twitter, who screenshotted multiple reactions to Ryan Tannehill's.
Oh God.
So Good Morning Football. Is it Ryan Tannehill's job to mentor Malik Willis? We're getting into this at the breakfast table. Quote, now people are questioning if he's really the leader of this team. Jordan Schultz. Pretty disappointing take from Ryan Tannehill on not wanting to mentor Malik Willis. I get you don't want to lose your job to a rookie, and that's a good thing. But Malik's also your teammate now. Helping advance the game by teaching the younger generation is also a good thing. Ryan Clark. I see Ryan Tannehill is on his, quote, not my job to mentor energy. It's not, but man, it makes you a good teammate. You can win without your quarterback being a good teammate, but better for the team if he is.
But
what
he's
a leader.
Trying to be a good teammate, right? I think he's saying what he said. He's trying to be a good teammate.
Here's my
favorite
one.
But it's stopping short of saying, hey, let me bring a spiral notebook, and D-Mace, you bring your spiral notebook, and I'll put my arm around you when we're in the room, and I'll go through the notes to make sure, do you understand everything the coach just said? You might want to write this down about this play over here. That's not how it works.
No,
you're
not
a professional.
Here's my favorite one from NFL Rumors. Former hashtag Rams and hashtag Cardinals Kurt Warner slams hashtag Titans Ryan Tannehill over mentor comments. Tell young quarterbacks, reach out to me if you need a mentor.
Again, I think, you know, Ryan's – and listen, I got on him too. Probably not like that, but I got on him too. Ryan's – it's all about delivery. It's how you deliver your message. And I think Ryan, because he wasn't ready for that question, and he didn't think anything of it. He chose to go about it more of a sort of a, okay, I'm just going to answer it and move on. I don't want to stay on this answer too long. I'm answering to move on. Whereas Joe was like, whoa. Nah, you ain't gonna get me with a banana in the tailpipe. I'm going to answer this. And this is what I talk about all the time, fellas. When you are doing an interview, young players, take your time. Those, they're not going anywhere. Why? Because they want an answer from you. You don't have to rush your answer. You don't have to do anything. Talk slowly, deliberately, concise. Get your thoughts together before you answer that question. Because I guarantee you, if it takes you 5 minutes to gather that thought, if that person really wanted to talk to you, they're going to stay there that 5 minutes to make sure to get a quote from you. So take your time. And Joe took his time. He said, whoa. That's a trick question right there. You thought you had me, didn't you? I'm smarter than that. You forgot I won a Super Bowl,
that's
didn't
the,
you?
That's the savvy veteran in him.
Exactly.
If you're looking at the video of him, he's gray all over, man. Got the gray beard, got the gray in the hair. He's been there and done that. He's answered a lot of these questions. 615-737-1025. We will wrap up the week by taking it to the bank. And we will also welcome in, live from Hawkins Field, the kinder, gentler, softer Jared Stillman. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We will be joined by Jared Stillman momentarily. Before we get to Jared, who is live at Hawkins Field, where Vanderbilt will kick off its run to Omaha, hopefully, against Wright State at 5 o'clock. We will take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank. Less worry, more living. F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. So we will all make one selection. Willie Donick, why don't you lead us off?
All right, well, let's give you just a couple of little tidbits on what's happening so far in the NCAA baseball tournament. East Carolina is pummeling the Florida Gators in Gainesville in the opening game of that regional down there in Gainesville. 11-2, the Pirates leading in the top of the seventh. And East Tennessee State, the battle in Bucks, leading Louisville 2-0 in the top of the third in the Nashville Regional. These are the two teams that are alongside Vanderbilt as Vanderbilt gets ready to play Wright State a little bit later on tonight. And, of course, Miami of Ohio plays Tennessee. That's at 5 o'clock Central on ESPNU. So I'll go with this. I think Tennessee will rebound and be all right in their regional. I think Tennessee will win their regional.
Okay.
And go to the super regional alongside Arkansas.
Ooh, that would be good.
That will be TV people want to see. And I'm really curious how many SEC teams make the Super Regionals. Because it's like, remember we talked about what would be a successful run for the SEC in basketball? How many of the Final Four should they have? How many in the Sweet 16? How many in the Final Eight? It's a similar situation here for baseball. And the standard is that high pretty much every season in baseball. But this year in particular, I think the gap is even wider. It's going to keep getting wider because of the finances and resources the SEC has. So I would say that Arkansas-Tennessee is likely not the only all-SEC Super Regional that we're going to see.
Derek Mason?
All right. Panthers and Oilers. Panthers have scored, what, 22 goals somewhere around there? And the Oilers have scored 25, 26 in their respective series, their last series.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be a high-scoring game.
Game one on Wednesday.
Yes, game one on Wednesday. And I predict that the Florida Panthers wins the game.
On the road.
On the road.
They have been quite good on the road in these playoffs.
I predict they win the game. I predict it's high scoring, and I predict the Panthers win the game. What's the line on that one?
That's a good question. I don't know.
We're talking game one?
Yeah, game one
of the Stanley Cup Final.
What is that?
While you look that up, I will make my selection. We have game six of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA. The Knicks avoid elimination against the Pacers. So the series moves back to Indianapolis. And as you know, I'm a fan of maximum chaos. So I think the Knicks, they force game seven.
Damn it. You just stole mine. That was mine.
You can take it too.
Okay, that's what I'm going with too.
All right. David and I are going with the Knicks to force game seven against the Pacers back at Madison Square Garden. So now that we've made our selections, do you have the line?
Plus line? 1.5.
Okay. Now we bring
Florida's
in.
Florida's plus 1.5.
Louisville alum, and I understand that Louisville is losing right now, so we'll see if he's in a good mood or not.
It's early.
But yeah. We bring in the kinder, gentler, softer Jared Stillman. Hi, Jared. How are you?
I'm fabulous. I heard you take like 1 minute out of my entire spiel.
Because it's our show, and we don't want to replay your show on our show.
And went on this big, long rant about the Maple Leafs. This is the first time in my life I got bored listening to people talk about me. I'm sitting here listening to you guys break down the Maple Leafs. I'm like, what about the John Robinson take and the Mike Mularkey take and the fans that don't appreciate what they have when they have it with this organization that's the worst football team in the league? That was the crux of the issue.
Well, it all started with your insane tweet over the weekend that you think Maple Leafs fans are overreacting. And as I said, you told all of Nashville that it's okay to almost win.
I think that, again, I look at it like this. Like, okay, so let's use the Toronto Maple Leafs as the example here. Do you Auston Matthews, he can't win the big one. So will you get rid of him?
I never said that.
Cut him?
I never
trade
said
him?
That. Never
you
said
get rid
that.
Of Lamar Jackson?
Never said that.
I mean, Lamar Jackson, he can't win the big one.
I used the example of Josh Allen.
We have Lamar Jackson have to go out there before. I mean, I guess I look at it like, and I'll use the Titans as the example. I thought it was ridiculous when they fired Mike Mularkey because I thought the expectations, how could you have had higher expectations than getting to the divisional round of the playoffs and losing to Tom Brady and the Patriots? And they fired him anyways. I thought it was ridiculous to fire John Robinson when they fired him after he kept winning division after division after division and they were, you know, en route to win another division. And look, the draft picks, they weren't great, but at the same time, they were winning. But everybody around here just thought they were so entitled. Just, oh, no, we need better. We need better. And now we're sitting here looking at a guy that was taken seventh overall in the draft last year because he was big and could play left tackle, and now they're asking him to lose weight and play right tackle. I mean, this is what happens when you just get so upset. I saw on Twitter today people talking about Peter DeBoer. He can't get over the hump in the Western Conference Final. Like, okay, I'll take Peter DeBoer. I would like to go to the Western Conference Final every single year. The Eric Dickerson line about losing, you know, and about losers talk, that was in reference to Jeff Fisher finishing 7-9 with the Rams every year. Not getting to the Western Conference Final, not going to game seven of the second round of
and
the playoffs.
And losing 6-1.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question.
Should the Dallas Stars blow it up?
I'm not saying that. But you're talking about fans. You're talking about fans and entitlement and expectations. You asked me as we were bickering about this, do I think that the Buffalo Bills should trade Josh Allen because he can't make it to the Super Bowl? So based on what I heard from you yesterday, you think that Buffalo Bills fans should be okay with the fact that their MVP quarterback can't beat Patrick Mahomes because, hey, it's Patrick Mahomes. We tried. Well, good
season. What are they going to do about it? What are they going to do about it? Cut him?
I'm not talking specifically about Josh Allen, Jared.
Well, when you say blow up the team.
When did I say blow up
but
the team?
But that's what people are talking about. Again, the Bills are going to keep trying, and the Ravens are going to keep trying. They're going to keep running it back because the alternative is getting rid of Lamar Jackson, which is a terrible idea.
But, Jared,
let me say this.
Didn't you want the Titans to replace, at all costs, Ryan Tannehill and his fat contract after they lost to the Bengals?
Yes, but that's not blowing up the team.
Well...
And not
that
would have
been a significant change at quarterback.
I'm actually glad you brought this up, Willie.
That's a huge change.
Absolutely not the same as Josh Allen, but I'm glad that you brought that up. Because in that instance, there were three quarterbacks that people were talking about potentially being available that I said, hey, move off of Tannehill for this guy. Russell Wilson, who ended up being a pumpkin, Aaron Rodgers, who ended up staying in Green Bay, and Tom Brady, who unretired. I was looking to get better at the position, but I wasn't going to blow the team up. Again, there's a difference between blow the team up, and I'll use Buffalo as the example. If Buffalo gets to the AFC title game this year and loses again to Kansas City, I would consider firing the coach because you've got to change something.
According to you, I know that because this stems from the Maple Leafs. Let's just go back to them quickly. According to you, you think Maple Leafs fans should be fine with what's been going on, despite the fact that they're 0-7 and reaching conference finals.
So what are they going to do?
Well, they're
like, I mean, you and I both know that Marner's not going to come back, right, and they're probably not going to resign Tavares. But, I mean, again, like, I look at it like, okay, so we talk about, well, they just can't win with the core four. So what are the Maple Leafs going to do that's going to give them a better shot of beating the Florida Panthers next year? Because Marner leaves... I'm not sure there's an option out there, and I'm not the biggest Mitch Marner guy in the world, but when Mitch Marner leaves, I don't think there's somebody out there that's going to make them better than they are with Mitch Marner on their team.
Right, but at some point, when it's not working, you have to consider making changes. And in the case of the Maple Leafs, the change is probably going to be made for them because Marner's not going to re-sign. But let me just ask you this question, and then we'll move on. So again, the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen is what, 0-4 against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, has made it to two conference title games, hasn't been able to get over the hump. But do you think that Buffalo Bills fans should be okay with all of that because they keep losing to Patrick Mahomes?
I believe that if they lose to...
That's not my question. I'm talking about...
If they lose to the Chiefs again, I mean, I think that they have to look at themselves and say, hey, we still have a good quarterback and we can try next year with this quarterback to beat Kansas City. Yes.
Okay. Anybody else have anything?
I mean, everybody should be upset. When your team loses a game, you should be upset that you lost that game. I'm not saying don't be upset. But I'm also saying, like, again, as a Titan fan, you lost 35-14 to the Patriots in the divisional round of the playoffs. You should be upset about it. But it doesn't mean that you need to blow up the whole operation and fire the coach the way the Titans
did.
I'm still shocked about Jared's reasonable approach here because usually, Jared, you're a lot more extreme. That sounds like something I would say.
But I think what Adam is saying here is this. I don't think I heard him say blow up the team. But when you have your core four or your quarterback, wherever it is, and you've been to that position or that point in season, and you can't for the last four or five seasons, and for whatever reason you can't get past that season, or you can't get past that game, then there needs to be some changes made. Now, what are the changes? I don't know. But you can't say, oh, we lost to them because they're the – we lost to Kansas City because they end up winning the Super Bowl the last 3 years, let's just say. Oh, we keep on losing to them. Well, we need to find out a way to beat them, and it seems like we can't beat them with the guys that we have. So something has to change. Not blowing it up necessarily, but something has to change within that so they then can get over that hump.
Sorry to interrupt you, Derek. I think Reed, actually, Jared, said the right thing, and you seem to kind of agree with it or at least acknowledge that it made some sense. It's all relative. It's different when you're talking about the Titans right now or the Predators right now versus talking about the Maple Leafs or the Bills. It's relative. So if the Titans go 6-11 this coming season, Titans fans are not going to be apoplectic because they would have doubled their win total. Probably means Cam Ward's played pretty well or at least shown some promise.
Okay, stop right there. 6-11, because I heard you say this. So let's say they go 6-11. Would you keep Brian Callahan as the coach?
If he helped Cam Ward show promise and help them double their win total, yes.
It's about the development of the quarterback. That's what it's about.
And I'm not saying they should fire him or shouldn't fire him, but I'm telling you this. This means that the same organization is going to keep Brian Callahan after 2 seasons and 9 wins and fired Mike Mularkey after 2 seasons and 18 wins.
But it's based on expectations. The expectations are different for both teams.
Why were the expectations so much bigger for the Mularkey team? They got the divisional round of the playoffs.
Ownership was different. Ownership was different.
It's the same woman.
Back then, we're talking about, 8-9 years ago. Back then, the ownership, the way it was a little bit different. Not to say that Amy still had ownership. She's
worse now.
But what I'm saying is this: it's totally different from Mularkey then is different from Brian Callahan now. Everything is predicated on the development of their quarterback. If I win get 6 games, but I see that my head coach is developing my quarterback, then I'm keeping my head coach. That's what I'm doing. A fool would look at it and say, "Well, you developing that quarterback? He looks good." Yeah, we were 6-11, but now I'm going to change my head coach. A fool thinks that way. And I don't think Amy's a fool from that standpoint.
She is a little bit of a wild card.
She's a wild card, but I don't think she's a fool. But listen.
Willie won't say it because Willie's too nice, but I think Willie.
She can do a 180 pretty quick.
Her being quick on the draw.
And it doesn't mean she's right, but you can't. What would we do if we were making a rational decision?
Would you have fired Mike Mularkey, Willie?
I wouldn't have fired him.
I don't think I would have. No, I don't think I would have.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't have.
Oh, boy. That'll do it for us today and this week. We will be back Monday at 11 o'clock. Jared is live at Hawkins Field. Vanderbilt and Wright State at 5 o'clock right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll talk to you next week.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful, and happy Friday. Peace. Let's go, Vandy!